And I'm Sono.
Okay, we're launching a new show here, I guess. We decided, we've been talking about this on and off for the past couple of weeks, as we've all been looking forward to the start of Zoojer. And I took the initiative and threw us together a show specifically for Sentai. So welcome to the first episode of Laser Knees. which I'm sure we'll discuss how we came to that name at some point.
No, well, before we get going, let's just explain it. Just right.
Okay. Okay, we'll do it now then. I was put in charge of naming this as, I was the one who took the initiative of dragging it together. But at some point, Ahmed emailed me saying he was thinking about, it crossed his mind all of the cool, lady scientists in Toku. And he knows my love for Swan from Dekaranger, and made some comments about kind of joking names, calling it Swancast, and maybe something like that.
I confess, I was surprised that you didn't go for that one.
I was considering it, but I figured I should not tie us directly so blatantly to one show, and try to be ever so slightly more subtle about it. But one thing about Swan and about Dekaranger that I have not been able to let go of in good 3 years since I watched that show is the fact that Dekabase Robo has laser knees. That over the course of the weekend, when Swan turned their building into a giant fighting robot, she gave it laser knees.
That's true. There were laser guns on the knees, weren't there?
There were functional lasers. They use them for an attack. For several attacks, I believe.
Yeah, I seem to recall that, actually. Now that you mention it.
In joking about naming the podcast after Swan, I thought laser knees would be a good route to go, as we all have. As there, you know, there's a big robot in all of them, and they all have weird powers. So, it's nice and catchy. So that is how we came to the title of this new show.
And we're all looking forward to living up to the excellence that is Laser Knees.
We can only hope. So at the moment, it's just the two of us. As our fearless leader is elsewhere, but will hopefully show up before we're done. So join us as we start our wild ride through Dobutsu Sentai Zoojer. Can Yamato lead his human friends through an adventure to save the human world from the Death Galleon? Find out how we think that's going as we share our thoughts on Dobutsu Sentai Zoojer Episode 1, The Bustling Animal Land. As we do on Uncommon Cast, I'd want to make notes of the episode writer and director for every episode. Our episode one was written by Komura Junko, our lead writer, and he has several past Toku credits. He co-wrote an episode of Go-Onger, and Go-Onger versus Gekiranger. He did several episodes of Go-Sager and Go-Kiger, about half of Akiba Ranger. A good handful of Wizard, as well as Wizard in Magic Land and the Wizard half of Wizard Gaim.
Which, I was a big fan of that.
I enjoy both of those things very, very much. I forget exactly what episodes of Wizard he did, but there's a good handful of them. And I think maybe 3 or 4 episodes of Drive?
Hey, a body's got to make a living.
Not a bunch of them. Not a lot of them. I do think that Komura Junko did the whole arc with Shinosuke's dad.
Which, if it hadn't have come out of nowhere, might have been good.
Yeah, which I think was a decent arc, just
not on Komura Junko.
Yeah, it's the context of the arc is really the problem.
Yeah. Or the lack thereof, really.
Yeah, that's really the problem. But the arc itself was written pretty solidly.
Mm.
It's just that nothing around it made any of it make sense. And then our episode director is Shibasaki Takayuki, who is our lead director for the show, which is unsurprising. This is the first episode. he also has a number of past directing credits, mostly in Kamen Rider. He's done a few episodes of every Kamen Rider from Kabuto to Forze, with the exception of Kiva. He didn't do any of Kiva. But he was also the head director on GoBusters, though, weirdly, I think he only did, like, 9 episodes.
Whoa.
Which I don't really understand. When I looked this up, I saw him credited as head director, but that he only directly did 9 episodes.
Well, maybe if you're, like, the head director, you're also in charge of saying, like, this didn't work, that didn't work. Maybe there's a lot of, like, oversight.
Yeah, I'm not sure how, like, full direct, like, head director and then episode director. I'm not sure what the distinctions are there. He also did some directing on Drive and Ghost, and a lot of, like, the Heisei Rider movies and DVD specials were all him.
Right on.
So, a couple people who know what they're doing.
Yeah. Some half-decent credentials.
Yeah. So,
and this is the first time that Kimura's been head writer on something, right?
I believe so, yes.
Oh.
Kimura seems to have mostly just done a couple episodes here and there. I think the things he's done most of were Akiba Ranger and Wizard.
Okay, so this is sort of the proving ground.
We'll definitely see what Komura's got as we make our way through this show. I'm pretty interested because I do like a lot of Komura's past credits, and I'd like to see what he does with the whole show.
Yeah. Go on.
So moving on to our first section, we formatted the show similarly to Uncommon Cast, because I think we kind of hit on something good there with how we started setting that up for Ghost.
I sure think so.
So I kind of mimicked that over here with its own set of terrible puns for section names. So our first segment is Animal Instincts, which is our overall thoughts, impressions about the episode, its message, what we think is going on. You want to go first, or should I? What? Go for it.
I've been listening to what a lot of people have been saying about it. A lot of people have been very excited, and I feel sort of bad that I'm going to start us off by being just kind of a skeptic. And look, don't get me wrong, this thing's got legs, and I think there's a lot of potential for story elements and plot lines that we introduced here in the first episode, but there's a level where it feels, I don't know, a little too traditional in its structure and scope. Like, all the boxes are ticked off, no doubt. Like, there's the sitcom scenario, check. Bad guys, check. First transformation, check. Robot fight, check. Even a hint at the sixth member, which I appreciate us getting out of the way, because look, it's not like it's not gonna happen, right? We aren't even going to pretend. I appreciate that. But, like, the whole time I kept thinking it was, like, a less weird Jetman or Gingaman. Like, and look, I look forward to being proven wrong, and I love the heck what was the Red's name? Yamato?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, I like that he's a zoologist, and all the designs in the animals, the Zhumen, are weird, but also carried out nicely, as I think I would argue most of the designs in the show are, except maybe the chest piece on the costume. But the first episode just feels this side of too safe, if that makes sense. Like, it's a weird thing to say, as it's a really abstract thing coming down to more like my gut than anything else. Like, and if you grilled me on what made me iffy on it, I'm not entirely sure I could tell you why, but like, it's good, it just is too safe. At least it's at the start.
I can see that. I mean, I'm very used to Sentai being very traditional in its beats.
Yeah, and I think that's my problem. Like, the ones I started with were Gokaiger, then Bokenger, then Tokuger. Which,
yeah, you started kind of in the weird end of the pool.
Which is what I think has been kneecapping me.
Wow, is Bo Kendra the only one that didn't have a wedding episode? Now that I think about it? As I try not to get horribly off track from the start, but that's just a realization that hit me.
The closest I think would be when Sakura and Akashi were on the spaceship together at the end.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's the Cinderella episode, which I think may have been like the substitute for it, but it wasn't the traditional wedding episode that we get in a lot of Sentai. Because I mean, I was gonna make a point of some of the beats that a lot of them usually hit, which is a wedding episode. Brought up Bo Kendra, and I'm like, wait, that didn't do that.
I just realized that means someone's probably going to marry the shark, because it's too obvious if they marry the cat. And
it's always a fake wedding.
I know.
The thing is that it would definitely be Sela, because they would go towards Amu, and then something would happen, and it would have to be Sela. That's
exactly.
Where
I would be happy to be left at the altar by that shark. Look, I'm not really a furry guy, but she's like kind of amazing.
I love them both, but Amu's the one that's calling me out of the gate. I seem to be one of the few in that camp, but
well, that's,
I mean,
someone
I love,
should be in the camp.
I mean, I adore Sela. I have zero problems with her.
Well, yeah, of course.
I think she's absolutely perfect. But something about Amu is calling me.
No, I totally understand.
But I do have really high hopes for this one. I've been avoiding a lot of pre-show press due to my experiences with the Ninja. So I've gone into this mostly blind, except for a couple little things, you know, the animal suits.
I'm glad I knew those were coming.
What animals? I think really the animal suits and like what animals they were is most of what I knew. I don't think I really knew all that much else.
That's about what I had too, yeah.
But like, I'm already in love with all of them. It feels very fun and bright, but not overly silly, which isn't always bad. I mean, I love Go-Onger, but like, I know that can also just go very poorly from my experiences. The villains do feel like a threat to me, and the cast already feels very heroic. I guess because, you know, four of them are meant to be heroes even outside of the context of being a Sentai. I got super emotional listening to the opening, and like during Yamato's first big fight where they play the opening again, and even a bit during the really cute dance ending. So all around it feels like a really good energy, and I'm very excited to see where we're going with this.
Which makes me very happy, because I would feel really bad if a show that clearly, again, like, I have a bad gut feeling. Not bad, a wary. I'm wary. I would be very sad if, like, we both showed up and we're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, like, it doesn't deserve that.
No. But I love all of them. I love their, like, mentor guy. His full name is Mori Mario, which is very, very close to Morio Makino. And that has to be intentional, because they're basically the same character.
Which one's Morio Makino?
The one in Bokenger. They're tech in Bokenger.
Oh, right. Yeah, oh. Yeah, he does kind of look like that guy, doesn't he?
Like, it's kind of the same, like, a guy with the same age and the same build and the same kind of, you know, hanging around, being a little silly, but seems to know what he's doing. And they have almost exactly the same name. I mean, this is an anniversary show, so that very much could be a callback to him.
Which was, like, another thing I was thinking when I was thinking of how traditional this thing feels in its opening. Because, like, yeah, it's an anniversary show. You know, nothing wrong with just saying, like, no, this is what Sentai is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm feeling very good out of the gate. But, We do all have our issues with it, so we're going to move to the second section, what got our hackles up. Our problems and nitpicks with episode one.
All right, so out the gate, the rubber plastic horse masks on like a third of the background U-Men.
I loved it.
I was trying, like, when we got there, I was like, wait, I saw a flash of the zebra. Wait, is that a zebra painted one of those horse masks? And then for the rest of the time we're in Animal Land, it's like, no, it's just all the horse mask in different colors. Why? You have a whole costuming department. You don't need that. You use the panda suit. You put a wig on a crocodile head.
I love it.
I was just
so dumb.
Yeah, it was. I mean, again, it's the smartest thing because look, they need to populate the world with animal people, and that's one that's easy to get that looks a lot like a horse. It's just. Anyway, just
imagine the cosplay groups that will come out of this.
Yeah, there's just going to be everyone's in a different colored horse mask and robes, and boom, that's like it's an easy cosplay. I won't blame anyone for doing it.
I love it.
I keep trying not to notice it, but now once
it,
I started,
it did make it very hard to take some scenes seriously.
It really did because all I could. Anyway, my second nitpick was Mr. Mario, because, again, like you're saying, the old guy living there, that is a thing that is well-trod with Sentai. It's just his costume antics straight out the gate put me on edge. Weird guy is great. Weird guy, it's that thing where I don't want to be laughing at him the whole time. Because I always get, like, really, like, I don't like when characters are made into clowns.
Yeah, and I get that, I do. I'm really hoping he does go, like, the Makino route, because Makino was the biggest badass.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
and, like, completely refurbished their robots in, like, half an hour.
I mean, he's no Swan,
need a power source. Yeah, well, I mean, no one is Swan.
Yeah, that's,
Miki comes close.
and my final, like, major nitpick is, all right, look, I'm going to be the one who says it and probably the only one on the show, but the music just was not hitting hard for me. Like, it's decent, it's functional, and it's not as if I have not adored Sentai music. Like, I bought the Tokyuger soundtrack because
it was amazing.
Yeah, I maintain that is the best in the Tokusatsu game. Flat out. Every bit of anyway. This one is gonna be, like, it's gonna grow on me. Look, I'm not saying it's, like, Kamen Rider Agito bad. Because there is no opening that is worse. but I'm gonna need a bit on the opening and the ending.
I like the opening and the ending. All of the incidental music I didn't really notice.
Yeah.
Which says things on its own.
Yeah, every bit of incidental music and major recurring theme in Tokyuger, though, I was like, this is my jam!
It's Tokyuger, I have the entire Bokenger soundtrack, obviously.
Yeah, that's a good soundtrack.
And it's great. Maybe I'll try and pay more attention to the music, but none of it really stuck out to me.
Yeah.
I'm probably the only one going this route, but the whole cube motif feels really lazy to me. It's a cube. It's a square. They're really bulky, and it's really hard to make holding, like, a 3x3-inch cube visually appealing.
I will give you that much. I admit, like, my nerdery on it is purely from the toy collector part, because I'm like, man, how are you going to make that turn into a robot?
I mean, it feels a little like the origami ones from Shinkenger.
Yeah, but not as good.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that's kind of my problem. Like, you can be more creative than this.
Yeah.
Why are you settling for
a cube? Because they're really married to this, like, weird Minecraft thing, and I don't entirely get why, because it's not that. Like, it's neat, but it's not that neat.
Like, it feels really lazy to me, where he just has this cube, like, in his backpack, and he just walks up to this big cube in the woods. I'm like, okay. I mean, I like how it's kind of aesthetically incorporated into the whole Xeomin world.
Mm.
Because they like, religiously worship this cube.
They do.
So I can kind of see that, but just, like, from a meta level, it feels really lazy to me.
I'm not going to argue that it doesn't feel lazy. Like, I'm interested in a lot of the things they were doing, but, look, it's clunky.
And, like, to use it as a phone, and then, like, the Rubik's Cube kind of thing is kind of neat, but it's a cube.
Yeah,
you've done origami and batteries and keys and like little trains. Like, if you have to do these gimmicks, pick something that isn't just a cube. I'm sorry.
No. Look,
like I'm not really sorry at all. But
you shouldn't be, because
I'm like, it feels so lazy, and the suits themselves feel a little uninspired.
A little,
like the helmet. The helmets. The helmets are neat, but don't really have a lot of detail. But the body of the suit feels really dull.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, it's a color, and there's an animal face printed on it.
I kind of wish they would have had the animal face in white, at least. Because I feel like that would have given a little more, you know, pop.
Yeah, it feels very uninspired.
Yeah,
to me.
It feels like I have seen t-shirts that look like that.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, see them online, and at first I'm like, oh, are they already marketing those t-shirts? Wait, this is from a Western... Oh, this is just someone putting an animal face on a t-shirt. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, it feels really lazy on a design level. I'm also getting real tired of five-person team, three-person robot.
Yeah.
Getting real sick of that. Just stick the other two on his arms. This is not rocket science.
Yeah, like, I don't... Like, I get that it's so that eventually they can just, you know, so they can do some Kamen Rider O's biz, but...
But I mean, like,
why?
Just stick him on his arms. This isn't hard.
Yeah, or wings, or something. Like, give it, like, what's the point of having the five, or eventually six robots if, like, you can't play with two of them anymore?
Yeah. Like, I'll give Gohanger credit. What it did very quickly was just introduce a sixth robot so that they could have two separate robots.
Yeah. Which, like, I'm pretty sure they're going to do here, but... They haven't done it yet, so I
yeah. It's like the thing is that like Gunpei and Hunt didn't come in until episode like two.
Yeah, they weren't
immediately on the team, so it kind of made logistical sense as to why there was only the three of them. And I'm pretty sure you could stick the other two on as arms because they're the arms on their individual robot with Corrugator, so I think you could just, like, stick them on as arms in the main one. Which, like, that makes sense, but this, it feels like there's no place for the elephant and the tiger, so just why?
Yeah,
why
do that? Like, especially since, like, all I can think is you should start out with the big robot that's all of them, and then take that away so that they have to work their way back up to it, so you can show off, like, oh, but it also turns into a three-person robot because those other two guys, they're out of commission.
Or they have to go, like, do something else.
Yeah.
Or be used in this other robot.
Yeah.
I'm real sick of it. It was a thing that really bothered me in Kyoryuger, and... Didn't Ninja also do it? I only watched, like, 10 episodes of Ninja.
No, Ninja
I don't
was,
remember it very well.
They were very big on, like, no, we all have to be here.
Okay.
Eventually, they even made a second big robot that had all six of the people just at the base. There was no upgrading that robot.
Okay. I feel like there's one other one that did it, but I may be wrong on that. But it was a thing that really bothered me in Kyoryuger, and it really bothers me here.
No, I don't blame you.
But to turn the tides, we're going to that now on to stuff we enjoyed.
Okay. First thing, I really liked the whip sword. That was a neat weapon. And also kept with the Minecraftiness, which, you know, it hits on a lot of levels. And I really hope that very soon the rest of them will get specialized weapons, because when they use their animal powers, it looks kind of awful.
I love the big dumb paws.
Yeah, it's like, what? Like, my favorite, I admit, was the elephant foot. But, like, I like the gloves. I like the little rat, not the jagged edges on the glove, on the what do you call the bit of the glove that's on your forearm or wrist?
I don't know.
The cuff, I guess. Special.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but the cuffs of the gloves and the tops of the boots, those were neat. But boy, those are bad. Anyway, however, aside from the suits and the gun swords, which those were rough. What's that?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. I actually really enjoyed a lot of the design of the animal world. Like, if we can understand our heroes as being contributing members of society, fighting against a bunch of, like, awful gamer types, the fact that the baddies explode into pixels at the end, like, that's a nice integration of this cube thing, especially seeing, like, they're just dropping a bunch of foam cubes on the robot at the end of the episode. It was
adorable.
I do
like that, and it reminds me of, like, a specific animation style, where, like, when the ground explodes, it kind of explodes into cubes.
Ooh.
There are certain animators that draw, like, when things are really intense and, like, the ground is breaking up, like, it'll kind of go into cubes.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, I think Trigger might be one of the studios that kind of does that. I know there's like three or four specific animators who do that, but I don't remember any of their names because I'm terrible and because I have a really hard time keeping track of that kind of thing.
It's a lot of information, and there's only so much anyone can store in their head.
Yeah. The cube thing is, they do a lot of good things with the cube thing, but then you get, like, the sword gun, and there's no way to make that look good.
No, like I hate...
And, like, that's where my issue is.
I hate being the guy who's, like, the toys in this show for children look like preschool toys. The sword gun really looks like a preschool toy.
Yeah, like, it does.
Absurdly. However, you know, speaking of design and exploding bad guys, I like that the head bad guy had the glowing mouth. That's a really good touch, and I'm a sucker for it, and I don't know, well, I'm glad that people don't use it a bunch, but, like, that's how you say, okay, this guy is crazy powerful. He's so powerful, his mouth is like, filled with energy.
Whoa. There's, like, bioluminescence in there that you gotta watch out for, because heat creates light.
Yeah, exactly, like, it's a really nice design on the head bad guy. Honestly, all the bad guys looked really good.
I like their designs a lot.
Yeah, like the cube guy with just like, then there's the broken bit with the skeleton teeth coming through. It's like, he's disgusting. I love him. And finally, like, hey, the Yamato is a scientist hero. We haven't had one of those in a while. I love it. And he can act, which... Look, I know you haven't been keeping up with Ninager, but the kid who plays Takaharu in Ninager, he started out not being able to act, and while he got better, he never got good. Like, he can move, he can flip, he kept shouting, like, I'm getting real fired up, and he could never sell it. Which, as it, you know, is his catchphrase, so...
I do like that everyone seems a little older.
Yeah, that's actually a really good call.
Because, I think maybe starting with Go Busters, they all felt really young.
Hmm.
I mean, like, with Go Busters, it kind of made sense given the context of what happened to them, Tokuger.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense in the context of the story, but everyone seemed like... just barely out of high school, like, from GoBusters forward.
Yeah, like from what little I saw of Kyoryuger, with the exception of the guy whose whole shtick was that he was an old dude who told dad jokes. Like everyone.
I mean,
their
Green is legitimately still in high school.
Yeah,
the character is still in high school.
And I was mostly just thinking of the Black, who just seems like, you know, he's like a 17-year-old who read The Game and is just trying way too freaking hard. Admittedly, that's off of like two episodes, but
their Black turns out to be a pretty decent character. I actually do really enjoy him. Anytime they let him have like any actual development,
yeah,
maybe four episodes tops.
Anytime he's not like on screen with a woman, because wow, like just in what little I've seen, that dude is creepy as hell.
They actually address that.
Good.
That's actually like a thing the show addresses, is like why he's like running around dating a bunch of women.
That's good, or they could just not have done that, but. Sorry, I get very like,
He's not actually dating them.
Good.
Is the thing.
Good. He's
just hanging around with a bunch of lady friends who like have troubles in their lives, and he just wants to like take their mind off it for a while.
That's good, because except for the first two episodes,
I openly admit it comes across as like really weird and creepy before they explain it.
Yeah, well that's the problem, because. When I, like, the thing that has impressed on me most, besides, like, the first episodes of Kyoryuger, was when they had the crossover with Tokyuger. And look, I know he couldn't have known that the girls in Tokyuger are literally 10-year-olds, but I'm just like, guys, don't write him hitting on them. Like,
yeah, see,
you know it.
Like,
you know.
Yeah, like, the people writing this know that, so that is unnecessary.
Yeah.
That is their failing.
Yeah.
But Ian is a pretty decent character.
Well,
I mean, I like Nasa and Ian, Soji and Uchi are okay. Really like.
And speaking of young, like Daigo just acts like he's 12.
Yeah. Well, Daigo is most of the problems with that show, but.
Yeah. Anyway, we're trying to be positive, sorry.
We are.
Didn't mean to get us off on a tear.
I don't remember where we were going with that, so I'm just gonna go into mine. We had a lot of world building for just the first episode.
Yeah, I did appreciate that.
Like, we already know pretty much what everyone is about. We've got kind of the base personalities of every member of our cast and kind of what they're about. Like, we have the whole, like, connection between the Zuman world and Earth, and we've got these dudes from some other place coming in. We've got this whole other culture in the Zuman world that we kind of see a lot of.
Mm.
It's a really nice bit of world building for just one episode where they kind of have to introduce everything. It didn't feel, like, rushed and awkward.
No, that's true.
Which is nice, because that happens.
Yeah, it does.
I really like the animal suit designs, with the exception of the horse people, who are literally just that horse mask.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
but
I,
the
it's
budget
be a going
goes
concern.
So the budget only goes so far. They can only, like, afford to make so many animal costumes.
Exactly.
So, it's not any kind of, like, real mark against the show.
Okay, wait. Come Christmas, do you think they're going to have reindeer people using those
costumes?
Oh my
god, I hope so. the animal costumes, you still get a lot of personality out of the main four.
Mm.
Even, like, it's very reminiscent of, like, Doggy Kruger. Or Torin in Kyoryuger. Torin was not a great character, but he was very expressive. And I mean, like, if you shoot Doggy Kruger from a different angle, he has a completely different expression.
Yeah, which, like, that's what you're supposed to do with those masks. That's,
yeah.
Like,
so, I mean, like, I really feel like they did that right. Like, they really kind of took what they established in Gekiranger and went the extra mile with it. As far as, like, having recurring people in animal costumes.
Mm. Yeah, like, I really, yeah. the suit actors in those costumes did some next level stuff. I really appreciate it.
This reminds me, I know a lot of people, as I mentioned, Geki Ranger, a lot of people are kind of making kind of Geki Ranger jokes just because you've got the people in the animal costumes.
Hmm.
But this reminds me so much of Gal Ranger, but not in a bad way. Like, not in a way where I feel like this is just, like, copping from Gal Ranger and being lazy. It just has a very, very similar energy to Gal Ranger. Like, when Yamato says, like, I'm a zoologist, I immediately fell back to, I'm a veterinarian. And just kind of... It has a very, very similar energy to Gal Ranger. They're all the same animals as Gal Ranger?
No,
they're not. Bull is now elephant. That's my mistake. But, Gal Ranger was also an anniversary series. But, it has a very similar energy to Gal Ranger, and I really like that. So those were, now looking towards what this show could evolve into, with our evolutions of what do we think this show has in store for the future.
Okay, well, I don't really have a lot of forward thinking. I don't have enough information just yet, besides, of course, that the Eagle will be our sixth ranger, or whoever picked up the cube, we're going to have a sixth ranger, but again, as if that was going to be a thing, as if that wasn't going to be a thing. After that, ask me at after episode 3, because that's usually where the slower starting ones, which for me this was, tend to say what they're about and give me enough to go on.
Yeah, I'm just hoping for an anniversary skit involving the Gal Rangers with a joke about red and yellow having their animals switched. Because Gal Red was a lion, Gal Yellow was an eagle.
Mm.
And just, like, Leo making some kind of joke about taking over as the leader, even though Sela is very clearly the one in charge of this group.
Yeah, she kind of is.
But I would like that joke. I would like to enjoy that.
I could see that. Like, I gotta say, like, I just like that Leo is just seems to be a creature of extremes. I dig on that.
I enjoy Leo so much.
Human! You're all right.
Time for hugs.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I really do. I love Leo. Leo and Amu are really the ones calling out to me out of the gate. But I love all of them.
Oh yeah, like what's not to love?
So now we're gonna have a couple questions examining things in the episodes. These are our quick reflexes. What do you think of the block cube motif?
All right, well, I'm going to... Again, like I was saying earlier, those sword guns were... Like, look, I'll be happy when they'll get their own specialized weapons. Because, yikes. Other than that, though, I actually kind of dig on it, if only because it seems that they're going whole hog with the cube's Minecraft pixels thing. It's in the whip sword, it's in the robot, it's in the explosions, and then using the six sides as a setup for the sixth member, like, that's really clever. All I can think is that they're gonna clean up in toy sales, because with the modular-ish design and the preview for the next episode, it looks like you can do some O's sort of stuff with the robot, which could be pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it just feels lazy to me. Like, you have such creative and interesting things that we've used in the past, like origami, batteries, ranger keys, cards, you've got the little tiny vehicles and Go-Onger. Trying to think of some others. But if you're gonna have a gimmick, it feels like someone kind of phoned it in on this one.
Yeah, like, again, like, it just... The Minecraft thing is baffling to me.
I don't know. It just, to me, it feels lazy.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the show taking this kind of pro-environmentalist angle?
All right, so you didn't even know it, but I saw that you were talking about this, so I had to collect some thoughts, because Y'all didn't even know you were prodding the sleeping lion with that one, because while I dig on it, I really do. Like, I'm all about pro-social messages in my superhero adventure series. Y'all know this, but I'm kind of iffy about going like hardcore environmentalist, because you have to walk that line between going sorta Captain Planet and full-on preachy Captain Planet. Because this is the other side of that thing where the bad guy talks about all the horrible stuff humans do to each other and what all the terrible stuff they do to the planet, right? Like, you have to talk about it, and you have to talk about it in a way that's not just, boy, it sure is a bummer that humans do all these bad things, nothing to be done because people are awful, or it all balances out because people are good. And maybe one day we could do something. It's you have to say that, but you also have to offer courses of action which include individual action but are not limited to it. Because while, look, I'd be super excited if a kids show wanted to express political methodologies and explanations about the efficacy of local political action and activism in defense of the environment, when they go off half-cocked, I get annoyed because it's not a message you should be driving home in half measures. Again, I'm glad they're going there. Please don't get it twisted, but it's the sort of thing you really have to lean into if you want to get the point across, especially since you're trying to sell that message while you sell the kids hardened petrochemicals. And look, the methods that go into making the toys that they're trying to sell are not what you might call environmentally friendly. And if we're going to open that can of worms, I feel like they have to at least have a thing in there where they're like, oh, but the toys are all made out of recycled plastic or something. I mean, again, I'm glad they're doing it, but if you want to talk to me about saving the planet from apathetic blood gamers, you best show up with more than maybe put on a sweater instead of turning up the heat, because it's important to get that out there. Don't get me wrong. Don't waste power. Conserve. But the individual is very limited in what they can do compared to what a massive group of people can do, and you're going to have a hard time getting 10-year-olds to come together as a pro-environmentalist party to go to the Diet to say, hey guys, maybe we need to improve our environmental regulations, and while we're at it, let's talk about labor conditions in neighboring China, because that's a threat to, you know, because all the pollution going on there is a threat to everyone, and then we'll get on America because they're also really polluting, and like, I just don't think I don't think the Diet's going to listen to a bunch of 10-year-olds who watched a season of Zhuozhi, thank you. And that's my, like, again, you know me, like, it's just, you can't do this in half measures. And if it's a major important message, you really can't. And again, I'm not going to pretend I'm not a toy collector. I know I'm the villain in Captain Planet here. I know I am. And he's going to come. He's going to punch me in the face, and I'll deserve it.
I mean, this sort of thing is really right up my alley, and I completely agree with you on all of that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I love environmentalist messages, and that's a very common thing for Sentai to push, as far as pro new energy and anti-pollution, specifically Go Busters and Go Onger, respectively. Those were kind of at the core of their plot. And most other mechanical-based Sentai, like Bokenger and Dekaranger, make a point of noting that everything they run is on clean energy.
Yeah, like, I really dig, you know, the futurist thing where it's like, look, where we dream of the future where this is possible.
Yeah. So I do like that this show is kind of taking on a conservationalist angle that's a little less common, because this one definitely seems to be more like, look at these animals.
Yeah,
bunch of them are probably going to go extinct if we don't do something. So maybe let's do something.
Absolutely. Because not to mention tons of cute animals every episode. Did you see those goats? Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So, I mean, like, I like that this is a thing that Sentai is specifically addressing again, because I believe Go Onger may have been the last one that was specifically Go Busters, even though that was not really at the plot of Go Busters, it was just sort of the setting.
Yeah, which, like, I kind of liked as an idea.
Yeah, I mean, It was also part, it was like half the core plot and half not.
Mm.
Because, like, the Enitron was very much at the center of everything they needed, like, the villains needed. But, like, they were already past the point. Like, they were already deep into clean energy. Like, the city was already functioning completely on Enitron.
And it's just that, you know, that stuff was the siren call to, what was his name, Messiah?
Yeah.
Did they? Okay. Spoilers. Did they ever address that, like, dude calls himself Messiah? Did they ever explain that? Or is that just, like, a neat, important-sounding English name they decided to drop on him?
I'm pretty sure it's just, like, it's a neat English-sounding name, but he is, like, the weird god figure of hyperspace. Like, he just can create he can just create people.
Okay.
Because he just makes enter and escape.
Well, there's that. Okay. That's
so,
fair.
I mean, like, it's kind of rational, but Go Andre was very, specifically, the entire plot was, like, anti-pollution.
Well, that's good. I'm down with that. I mean, and that was, yeah, wait, did you say Go Busters or Go Andre?
Go Andre.
Yeah, because
Go Andre was specifically anti-pollution.
Which I'm all about, and again, it's one of those things where it's like, you guys, your cars. Yeah, but no, we're good cars. We're cool. We're powered by souls. Well, all right then.
It's like we're not burning, like, burning gasoline or anything.
Yeah, look, we don't
eat
dinosaurs.
As opposed to the villains who literally want to pollute the earth so that they can survive on it.
Yeah. Terraforming.
Yeah.
Or monster forming, I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's a weird, like, there's a weird redemption arc to two of the villains at the end that I really like, but also I'm like, why do you, like, this is a really weird choice that you're making.
Well, here's the thing, like, that's a heavy thing to drop, because from what I understand, their world is dying, and so they have to pollute ours.
No,
so
it's not even that their world is dying, they're basically trying to, like, escape a horrible dictatorship.
Yeah, so, and in order to do that, they need our world to be hell. And
I'm like, what? There's legitimately a world called Junk World.
Oh, nice.
So I'm just like, why are you not moving there?
Well, because they don't want to live in that terrible area code. Have you heard about the schools in Junk World? They're terrible. Sorry. I don't know, like, when it comes to stuff like that, I like making up terrible, like, zoning regulation jokes.
I mean, like, there are things from, like, other bits of media that Go Andre is in where I can kind of make a reason, but it's not in Go Andre specifically, so I'm like, you clearly weren't thinking about that at the time.
And now I believe it's time for listener feedback.
Nope, we have one more.
Oh, there is. I'm terribly sorry.
What are your opinions so far of our villain group?
Oh, right. I sort of already covered some of this, so I sort of forgot that we... Anyway, well, again, the head baddie is so friggin' awesome. Like, he doesn't have feet, he sort of rises up, he's a weird, legless slug monster thing. Sort of disposable minions are freaky as heck. And then I realize they're supposed to be like spiny amoebas, and that's great. They have spikes where their eyes should be. That's messed up. And like, if they all turn out to be human or avatars made by like human gamers on Earth, I'd forgive a lot of the sort of disunity and weirdness among the design, between the designs, because then you just say, oh no, this is just the limitations of the character creation screen. Mostly I hope that dude whose head is a cube with like a scary horror mouth, I hope that guy dies last, because that dude looks amazing.
I mean, I think they're a really interesting concept, like what they have going on with them, where they're like halfway between hunters and gamers. Like, doing this weird blood sport thing. It feels like a much lighter version of the Grongi.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, actually. Especially since, like, that big guy could be a pretty passable Daguba. That's really good call.
They're just kind of like, okay, well, let's go kill people for funsies and see who can kill people the best.
Yeah, look, if they start busting out thesis proposals for their fancy ways of killing people, I will be in heaven, because that is still, like, the sickest thing to have your villains do.
And it's, like, it's just a very different route for Sentai, so I'm very interested. And they also have a really nice range of personality. Like, villains can really kind of make or break a hero show, so I'm looking forward to seeing what we can get out of them. My only real worry is that, like, the girl is going to end up kind of like Insarn or Metal Alice. And,
that would be,
like,
terrible.
Be an entire waste, and then I would be really upset.
Man, I was so mad about, like, look, I'm glad that sometimes the villains get at least bits where they show that they're not that bad. But she's literally participating in the Gegaru, so I want her to be, like, vicious as heck.
Yeah.
Like, I want her to, like, I want there to be a bit where she pretends, like, oh, I'm just a little girl, everyone save me and offer me support because I'm lost in this terrible game. And they're all like, oh, well, she's on her way to a redemption arc. And then she, like, stabs one of them in the kidneys from behind. What part of Blood Game did you not understand? Stab, stab, stab. That's
like,
one of you down.
I just so don't want her to be like Insarn and just stand there for the entire show.
It was, yeah, no.
Because that was so disappointing, because Insarn was so good.
Yeah, she really was.
And then did literally nothing.
Yeah, which is a crime, because she was a good design, she was, yeah.
Like, or worse, Metal Alice in Ghost Ager, who existed only to be part of a robot love triangle.
Yeah, which, no.
It's just, like, why? There is absolutely zero reason for this entire arc to have happened.
She had a really good design, and she had the best name.
Sorry,
like, Metal Alice. I'm like, really? Yeah.
And, like, my first experience with Metal Alice was in Gokaiger, because I watched Gokaiger before Ghost Ager.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh, who is she? She's cool. And then I get to Ghost Ager, and I'm like, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I wanted for you, Metal Alice.
Yeah, no, she deserves so much better than what she got.
Than everything. I love lady villains in Sentai. They are my calling.
No, and that's, yeah.
So I have so much hope for her, and I just don't want to see it go poorly.
No, we deserve better.
Okay, so now we're on to our feedback. We're going to go right into what got everyone's hackles up first, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like. I'll start us off, if that's all right.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Jason said, hi. So this is exciting. Here are my thoughts. There was not much of an explanation for things. I know they're trying to tease at things, but I left this episode feeling kind of confused, which is not a good thing. I'm hoping next week will be better in terms of all my nitpicks. I don't know. I sort of felt like I had enough explanation anyway.
Yeah,
but
I thought there was a lot of really great world building, and I don't need explanation so much as I need to just see things.
And then Jason also adds, it was rushed. Eagle ended up meeting the rest of the team within minutes, and that not long after the first fight started. I know Sentai does this a lot, but this was the first opening episode where it truly felt like it was going too fast. I do think there are some issues with the pacing. I would give that. I don't know if I quite exactly agree with the things Jason is mentioning, but the pacing, I think, might have been a little off, and maybe that's what gave me my weird gut feeling.
Maybe, I don't know, it felt to me very much like the first episode of Gowranger, the first episode of Gekiranger, where we're coming into someone joining this pre-established team.
Yeah, which, like, look, I have to say, I always prefer to the, you know, let's go get the team together, because that takes forever and always is a way guaranteed to make me think that they're just messing around or just trying to fill out episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I personally prefer, like, the Deca Ranger, Bo Kendra, Go Busters, where just the team is there.
Yeah.
The whole team is there, and we don't have to waste time with, like, anyone's first impressions of anyone. They can all just establish their relationships as they go. But this is kind of a middle ground between the two extremes of we have to make the team or the team already exists. But I feel like I really didn't feel like this was rushed.
Yeah, but you know, it's
but we all look at things differently.
Exactly. I mean, that's half the fun, and that's why we always like to have the feedback, because goodness knows it's always good to get some outside perspective, because the you know, us regulars on the show, we tend to know each other pretty well and where we fall. So it's always really valuable.
Joe Shark responded with, my only real issue with the premiere is how after Yamato transforms, he was able to defeat an incredibly powerful monster all on his own. I understand he's our viewpoint character for the first episode, and we need to show off how cool his whip sword is, but it would have been nice to see the other four chip in, too. I'm not worried about the show overall being too red-focused, though, as was the case with Kyoryuger, and to a lesser extent Ninjur, because I don't see how you could have four of your characters be furries from another world and not focus on them.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah, because they are, I mean, they're automatically way more interesting than is Yamato.
Yeah, that is pretty legitimate, though. He did just kind of show up and automatically, you know, be a guy.
I was okay with it, if only because it's the dramatic logic where, like, okay, well, he's the red, and now the team is complete, and he was the missing element, so now explosion.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first episode, and I can just kind of let that go.
Yeah.
Because I know that within the next coming, like, four or five episodes, we're going to be kind of singling in on everyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so, I mean, that is a pretty legitimate...
It is, absolutely.
...thing to note.
And then Engelmeister had their hackles up, saying, since the premiere moved so fast, there wasn't a lot of room for me to have any real problems with the episode. But as far as nitpicks go, Mario's appearance at the beginning was really weird and unnecessary. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It would make more sense to wait until the next episode to show him, when we can actually spend some time with him. But he's there for one short scene in this episode, so I can't complain that he took up too much time either, which, that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just saw him and I thought of Makino and then he was gone, so I didn't have a lot of time to dwell on what he was doing.
Yeah, I
Which is really why he's not a complaint for me. I'm just like, oh, it's Makino.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And I'm pretty sure he is almost literally just Makino, except he works at the zoo.
Hmm.
So stuff our listeners enjoyed.
See, Jason's tie turners were the suits. Everyone seems to hate them, among most other things about the show, but I liked how simple they are, and I'm glad someone does.
Yeah, we all have different aesthetics, so I'm glad someone out there likes them, but people hate most things about this show, what?
Well, apparently a lot of people are kind of your mind about the cubes and a lot of other stuff.
Okay, but I mean, the episode was still really good.
Yeah, it was.
Just because the design department is lazy.
Well, I think that's kind of what everyone's hating on, except, of course, for the animal costumes, because I don't think I've seen anyone raise an issue about the animal costume.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of the, like, humanoid design, like the villain designs and the animal costume designs, I really like.
Mm.
I just think having Yamato walk up to a giant cube in the woods... someone could have worked a little harder.
Yeah, that one did feel like, yeah.
Maybe take another hour or so to think about that.
Yeah, we could. Anyway, now I'm going to get into editing mode, and that's going to take us all month. The second tide turner for Jason was the Gatai sequence. The fact that it's a first-come, first-served thing could lead to some interesting combinations, and I hope the show explores that idea in future. Which, I mean, like, I can get with. I just
Maybe I'm sick of the five person, three robot thing.
It's yeah, like again, I think at best we're gonna get some neat like Kamen Rider O's stuff, but except it's not gonna be as bonkers as O's.
Yeah, O's God, O's is bonkers.
Yeah.
But it's like, what are you gonna do with these other two then? Why do you like why have a five person team then?
Yeah, no, that's it's a like, legitimate
just
thing.
Just give him Sella and Leo.
Yeah. That's, I'd be fine. But those are the two that made the biggest impression on me, because, like, I like the elephant guy. But it's weird to me how, like, I don't know, just the trunk is a weird thing.
Like, I feel like you could combine Sella and Tusk into one character, and Leo and Amu into one character.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, then we'd lose out on some really good, adorable fursuits, but that's about it.
I mean, I love all four of them. I would not want to lose any of them.
But if they're gonna just have the
just
robot
stick
be a three.
The other two on the robot as arms. This is not rocket science. But anyway, Geoshark responded, I might be alone on this, but I absolutely love all the designs on this show. The main suits, the villains, the mech, it all really works for me. I've seen people call the Zyoger suits lazy, and I guess I can understand that argument, but I like the simplicity of it. And while I wasn't initially sold on the animal prints on their chest, they've really grown on me. The villains and monster designs feel very unique and refreshing, especially the leader, and the Minecraft mech is just perfect. The design of the mech doesn't bother me.
I really love its head.
Like, I like the mech. It's just stick the other two on his arms, Jesus Christ.
And look, I'm glad so many people are getting into the simplicity of the suits. Like, I never could, but I'm glad someone is.
I feel like in 10 episodes it won't bother me, or like maybe even 5 episodes it won't bother me anymore. It just feels like a little more effort could have been made. Even like put a white V under like the animal face.
Yeah. Because I think it's like thinking back to similarly simplistic, you know, quote-unquote simple costumes, like the Tokuger costumes. A lot of people call those way too simple, like preschool simple. And I'm just like, no, those are actually really elegant suits.
It took until I saw those in motion.
Yeah.
For me to be okay with them. And that's usually, I don't pass judgment on a suit until I've seen it in motion.
Yeah, and I've seen these in motion.
And I mean, now I've seen the Zyoger suits in motion, and it still feels like someone could have put another hour of effort into them.
Again, I still say that
give them white sleeves.
Yeah. Or if the tiger was the only one with black and everyone else had the white animal, I think it'd pop a lot more.
Yeah, just something a little more.
Yeah, just more.
But Geoshark also said, I really enjoyed Zooland. All the cheap animal costumes they used for background costumes were hilarious, and the fact that everything in their world is a cube is wonderful. It's a really unique setting, and while the main characters are stuck in our world for now, I hope we get to see more of it in the future. I agree there.
Yeah.
And like, I'm fine with Zooland having all the cubes, because again, they worship this giant teleport cube.
Mm.
So I can understand why that's so like ingrained in their aesthetic. It was all just really neat.
It really was. It's also a thing, like, in so many Sentai series, they talk a lot about how our heroes come from another world. But we never get to see the other world.
Yeah.
And that's always kind of a bummer. Like, I understand why the Ghostagers couldn't go to heaven, but
we do get a couple of times where the Maji Rangers went up to heaven, though.
That's true. That was
they did do that now and then.
And which Bandora was like the head was lady.
God.
Was awesome.
Was essentially God.
Yeah, which
as she should be.
Yeah, like that was. I was so happy when I heard that. Oh no, that who's going to be playing God or you know the head of Magic Land or whatever it was called, Magitopia. There we go.
Yes.
Like, oh, it's going to be Witch Bandora, and I'm like, good. She deserves to be that.
I did not know that beforehand. I think the first time we see her is in the movie, so I'm just watching that movie,
yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, holy shit, did not expect to see you here. Hi, how's it going?
Yep.
But yeah, like, we don't, it's not something really addressed in Gokaiger. It's mildly addressed in Gokaiger.
Yeah, kind of. But yeah, they all come from different planets, and one of them is exploded.
Like, we don't get a good look at, like, really any of them.
No, it all just, it's a quarry.
They're all kind of on fire.
And an alley.
They're all a little bit on fire.
Yeah, just a bit.
And, like, Lord only knows where Joe is from, even though I assume he's from the same planet as Luca.
Oh, I could see that. Man, they should have used that, like, have them kind of hate each other at first. That would have been glorious. Well,
they don't even have to be from the same area of their planets. Like,
yeah, but if
she could be from her planet's France, he could be from her planet's, like, Mexico.
Yeah, but just the thing, like, on a planetary scale, it's like, no, you sold out our planet. You worked for the Zinyak. Look, it was that or, you know, die on the street. What's wrong with dying on the street?
And I mean, like, I could see, like, Joe not remembering because the Zinyak pumped him so full of drugs that he has no memory of his planet.
Yeah, true.
But I could see, like, I feel like maybe over time, like, being around Luca, he'd start remembering things.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Just because, I feel like there's certain things about them that are, like, culturally similar.
I could see that, actually.
I need to, like, dig up... I wrote a whole thing about this once, because I was just thinking about it, but...
Yeah, send that to me.
I need to find it, because I don't think I tagged it. So it's somewhere in the depths of my Tumblr.
Been there.
I will find it one day, though. But trying to get ourselves back on track, because, God, the two of us cannot be left to our own devices.
Unsupervised children, yeah.
And, God, especially in the first episode of this show... back to Juho Shark's answers. Most of all, I love the characters in this episode. While Sela is probably my overall favorite because sharks are awesome,
sharks
the highlights
are
of the premiere
awesome.
Were definitely Yamato and Leo. Yamato feels like a very refreshing Red Ranger, as the last couple we've had have all been variations on the dumb, impulsive leader. And I say that as someone who loves Wright and likes Takaharu. So seeing a Red who's just as passionate but a little less over the top is a nice change of pace. I agree.
Yeah.
Because, man, that goes back, like, to Kyoryuger. That was, like, 3 years in a row of that.
Yeah, and, like, look, I love Light, but...
Oh, I adore him, but, like...
You know, as part of the pattern.
We don't need 3 years in a row of it.
Yeah, no, especially since, like, I really do feel like one of the reasons they did that was because Takaharu is so very over the top in Ninninger, and also can't sell it.
Yeah. Continuing, Leo is a big affectionate kitten, and I don't think I'll ever recover from him giving Yamato a hug. Agreed.
Yeah.
I have really high hopes for Sela and Amu, and really hope they get good focus episodes in the future, especially because Ninja was really lacking on giving the girls their own episodes.
Mm.
And I'm really enjoying making fun of Mr. Grumpy Pants Elephant Man way too much. Basically, everyone is perfect. Agreed. I'm already so in love with all of them.
Yeah.
I really want Sela and Amu to have some good episodes.
It is frustrating how rare it is for the ladies to get good episodes, or substantive episodes, or episodes where they don't share the spotlight, which is always the thing that upsets me the most.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing we have really not had since Go Sager, I think.
Yeah, it's been...
I mean, well, Go Busters only had the one girl on the team. And she really only got one good episode before they, like, completely decimated her character back into nothing of substance.
Oh, that's a shame.
But, because I can think of a good handful of them back in, like, the pre-Gokaiger. Because I kind of use Gokaiger and Decade as kind of a...
I think that's fair, though.
Kind of an era change.
Yeah.
In Heisei.
I mean, I know that Bokenger had some really good ones.
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, you remember the one with Sakura and the assault rifles, right?
Yes, that was a Sakura and Natsuki episode.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That was specifically the two of them. But Sakura and Natsuki both got
a lot
very
of episodes,
individual
yeah.
episodes.
Yeah, because they had...
And they got episodes with the guys.
Yeah.
Which is rare.
That is.
Bokenger is good.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do really hope that we get some good episodes for Amu and Sela, and that they get some individually. Because, Amu could be fun.
Yeah, she could, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. And Angelmeister's Tide Turners. I thought the Zhuman Market looked really cool, and I hope we get it in the show again soon. The whole show looks really nice, actually. The suits have grown on me, and I even love the animal traits their suits take on during the fights.
I love the big dumb cat paws.
I think a lot of it...
It's beautiful.
I think it would have worked better for me if they hadn't had the, whoa, look at my superpowers reaction.
Yeah.
I think that might be part of what's tripping me up.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they've never done this in suit before, as far as I can tell.
That's part of the thing, yeah, but...
But I love the big stupid cat paws.
They're great and also awful. Although, okay, just a quick thing I forgot to mention earlier. I kind of like that the cats have danger senses and you can tell how much trouble they're in because their tails go up.
Yes!
That's not actually what cats' tails do, by the way. Like, cats, when they're in trouble, their tails go way down and they fluff out. But I understand that that's a hard thing to animate.
Yeah, it's like...
Bipedal cats, they work different.
Yeah. It's definitely like they don't need their tails up all the time being bipedal cats. And like having them up all the time would probably take a lot of extra work in costuming.
Yeah. Well, and not to mention you'd lose a good visual, so.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to just be like, all right, just drags on the ground. We're done here. we can make some good visual gags on it. Here we go.
I love them both, though. I really do. I love Amu and Leo.
Oh, yeah.
They're speaking to me. Okay, so on to, no one answered anything for Evolution, so we're going to move on to the reflexes, and what did everyone think of the block cube motif?
Jason said, I don't mind it. Everyone seems to hate it for being too silly or ugly, but I honestly like it because of how silly it looks. It's goofy and fun, and that's what I like about it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... I'm glad someone does, because...
Yeah.
Again, those gun swords were just... rough.
Yeah, not my favorite. Joe Shark responded, I honestly don't know how they made Block seem so rad, but they did it. I love how all the individual mechs fold out, even if the lion does look awkward.
It does look really awkward.
Yeah, it does. Zio King is a great design, and when I saw the scans for the cube phone, I thought it was ridiculous, but after seeing it in show, I kind of love it. Most importantly, though, when the giant monster blows up, he explodes into tiny cubes, and it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Everything is cubes, and nothing hurts.
It's true, though, because I really, again, when they were throwing the foam cubes at the monster.
I really like that. Like, there's a lot of, like, the cube-based things in the show that I like, and I do like how they all kind of fold out of the cubes in a similar way to the origami mechs. Just, like, I can't reconcile, like, holding a 3x3-inch cube as, like, a thing.
Well, especially since, like, it's so clearly like a fakey Rubik's cube. Like, if they'd let them keep the weird clear silver ones that look like crazy, like, cubes of power, of incomprehensible energy, like, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
But what
do you do with it after you've transformed? I guess it just goes away?
Yeah, I think so.
Until you need to, like, pull it out of cube space?
Yep.
To summon it, like, it's like, what do you do with a 3-inch cube?
Yeah, because let's see, like, in the past, like, we've had the guns, and, well, that's easy. They're guns. The swords, easy. They're swords with big, chunky plastic shurikens. The trains, they're on your wrist.
Like, a lot of the phones go into, like, a pocket at the hip.
Yeah.
Or the Deca Rangers have one in the back.
Yeah, they had a lot of pouches anyway, so.
And, like, the GoBusters have the wrist braces. Sometimes you've got belts. This, that, and the other. Like, it's just, where are you putting these?
It's a very good question.
I do like the Henshin sequence, though.
Yeah.
I like it. Like, I like the cube going around them and all that. It's really just holding that cube that bothers me. And him walking up to that cube in the woods. I'm having a real hard time with him just, like, falling down a hill and finding a giant floating cube in the woods.
That does apparently seem like the sort of thing someone would have noticed.
Yeah. Especially, like, if you're running tours through there all the time.
Yeah.
Like, these wildlife tours. Like, that's... You've really never found the giant transdimensional cube before?
Yeah, like, if they would have explained, like, oh, you know, it's only visible under certain conditions or something, but they did not explain that, so...
It's just the giant cube in the woods and really, like, the holding the transformation cube phone thing that I'm still trying to work my way through.
No, I can dig it. And Engelmeister's quick reflexes, where I really like it. The cubes are visually interesting and don't seem as clunky as I thought they'd be when we started seeing the scans, especially Zhuo Kang. I can't wait to see how the show incorporates the cubes into the series, hopefully making it fit thematically by the end. And, well, I mean, I hope so too.
Yeah.
And I guess they're not as clunky, well, you know, as clunky as Engelmeister thought they'd be, so that's... That's a very qualifying statement.
Okay, so what do y'all think of the show taking on this environmentalist angle?
To which Jason replied, I didn't get that vibe. Like, it's cool if it's going to be a thing, but it clearly doesn't bother me.
Okay, well, I'm glad it doesn't bother you, but not sure how you didn't pick up on it?
Well, like, I think you could go with, like, you know... less environmentalist and more conservationist? Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
they're
big on the semantics.
Maybe? I don't know. It just seems so blatant to me.
Yeah, me too. Which, you know, as clearly thought by the fact that I had like a 10-minute sermon on like, no, this is how you do an environmental message, and maybe, anyway.
Juro Shark answered, I like the idea of it as it fits with the motif of animals, but it's too early to tell how it'll play throughout the show. I hope it remains subtle and not too preachy, as that was an issue Gowranger had with its environmentalist themes during its Gow God arc. Yeah, I do remember that.
And see, now me, again, I'm hoping it goes full Captain Planet with this mess. Like, I want it to be subtle like a brick to the face. But that's me, and like, I really like when things are not subtle in their metaphors. I like when the metaphor is barely a metaphor.
Though I don't remember Gowranger, like, overall being very, like, environmentalist or conservationist. It was just, these dudes want to kill us all and we gotta make them not do that. But I do remember it got kind of that way during this one segment.
And Engelmeister commented, it brings me joy to see the show go in that direction. It makes sense, since they're animal heroes, but I'm glad that they didn't just do it because people were in danger like they would in any other Sentai. It just makes it stand out a little more. On a related note, I really liked Yamato saying that humans are animals too. I hope it'll play into the environmentalist stuff we've seen so far. And yeah, that was a good moment.
Yeah.
I really, like, I dug on that. Admittingly, a part of me is like, well, then why is he the animal? Why is he the eagle cube? Why couldn't he be the human? And then there'd just be his own face on his chest. What are his powers? Like, he doesn't get animal powers. He just gets, you know, he makes a gun. I make technology.
He just punches harder. He just goes full Hibiki.
Yeah.
Simpo Gear Hibiki, not Kamen Rider Hibiki.
Oh, was Hibiki then?
Simpo Gear.
Well... Look, she does a lot of Kamen Rider attacks.
It's true, she does. But, like Tsubasa has the sword and Chris has the guns and Hibiki just punches hard.
Yeah. That's
which is kind of what I meant.
Yeah. But look, Hibiki, the Kamen Rider, like, that would be... Like, you could do worse than having his power of working hard.
Very true. He is absolute perfection.
Or maybe just fire powers, because, I mean, arguably that was our first technology. But that's going to get us off on a tear.
Yeah. On to what are your opinions of the villain group?
Okay, to which Jason said, honestly, we didn't see much about them for me to form a solid opinion. The fact that they consider this all a game, and from what it seems, don't really have an end goal is interesting, but it could also get old really fast. I'm waiting to see what the show does with them before making a full judgment either way. Which is legit, I mean.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, not a lot of them did a whole lot.
Yeah.
There's still plenty to learn about them.
Although, again, I really do like that, as you say, it's you know, like a more kid-friendly Kuga. Like, it's the friggin' Gengaroo. Here we go.
It basically is.
Yeah. This like is the that... Blood Game. We're here to murder you all. Ha! That's great.
Like, I can't wait. Like, I'm just waiting for them to dig out, like, the Grongi Magna Doodle.
Yeah. It'll be I love that. I was so sad and also happy when they switched to just an abacus, because it's like, yes, that looks a little more coherent with your whole thing.
I was so sad when the Magna Doodle broke, but I do love the abacus Grongi.
Yeah.
Like, I love job? That guy. What?
What's his job? Oh, he just counts stuff.
Yeah, no, he just goes and sees how many people are dead. I don't know why the police didn't just start following him around.
Well, they did eventually. They just yeah, but I, it
took
it,
the, it took them a lot longer than it should have. He was around for a good maybe 10 episodes before they started doing that.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so Joe Shark answered, as I said before, I love their designs, and the video game arcade aesthetic is great, and it's interesting to have villains who want to destroy the Earth because it's nothing more than a game to them. My favorite of the villains has to be Azald, mostly because the bulky cubes on his body just pile on top of the ridiculous block theme, and he's voiced by Professor Bias from Live Man, which instantly makes him 10 times more awesome. Oh man, I have not looked at the voice actors. I wouldn't be surprised if a bunch of them...
Well, it is an anniversary show, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what they do with anniversary shows. Like, everyone's parents in Bokenger were, like, old Sentai.
Oh, nice.
I forget exactly who all of them were, but, like, Silver's mom, Yellow's parents were all, like, old Sentai members.
That's great. One of the things I really am fond of when it comes to, like, the anniversaries and the big specials and the movies and stuff is just seeing that, oh yeah, all the people who played Sentai, they're still really into having been in Sentai.
Yes.
I mean, like we were talking about before we started recording, that statement that I am going to make us discuss at length on Uncommon Cast from Hiroshi Fujioka talking about being Kamen Rider 1, and He is so into being Kamen Rider 1.
He really is.
Like, I hope when I am his age, there is anything on this earth I am half as into as much as that guy is. Like, no, I was Kamen Rider 1. I do charity work. This stuff is important to me. Like, respect, dude!
Yeah.
Also, it was great, I finally watched the first couple episodes of Live Man and was finally able to answer the question from the closing theme of Gokaiger, why'd their friends do that to Live Man? The answer is Ayn Rand. Basically, like, if Professor Bias is the main villain from Live Man, as I'm pretty sure he is, I don't remember names, I'm terrible at them, yeah, he read a lot of Ayn Rand. That's it.
Like, I follow a lot of toku actors in different places. I was reading a couple people's blogs for a while. Boken Red, when he came back for 199 Tiros, he apparently got kind of emotional.
Yes, you would.
Coming back as Boken Red. When everyone did the dub of Power Rangers SPD, when the Deca Ranger cast came back together for that, Swan did not voice Cat, but she was the announcer.
Nice.
Everyone else was voiced kind of their characters, but someone else voiced Kat. I'm not sure why, but she got really, really emotional. She cried when they all came back together.
Aww.
And she was very happy that the U.S. Is really into, like, Power Rangers and Sentai, and was surprised by it, and I thought that was adorable.
I honestly am, like, that is my favorite thing about Power Rangers, honestly. Is knowing that when it comes back to Japan, this weird remix of this thing that, you know, their country made, they bring back the original actors to dub over the people who are playing not them in the face. It's this big cycle of weird remixing.
It's this very weird, like, Sentai Ouroboros.
Yeah, it's great. It's beautiful. I love it.
I also adore it. So I think this is where we are.
Oh yeah, and finally, Anglemeister's response was that there's not much to say about the villains for now. They all have neat designs, and I hope we see them show some interesting dynamics among themselves. The way they were introduced made me think they could all have different relationships with each other and would make their scenes more interesting. One of the things I loved about Ninager was how Kyuemon interacted with the other villains, and how each of them reacted differently to one another. I hope, Anglemeister, that you have also watched Tokuger, because the bad guys have some great politics going.
Oh god, yes, and the gods from Majiranger, gods.
All the villains in Majiranger, like, I adore them.
Yeah, it's just when we got to them, like, seeing, like, their relationships and their kind of, like, interpersonal politics was all very interesting. But god, I miss the Shadow Line. Every day.
No, that's legit, though.
Every day I regret that there was an actual physical fight between Nero and Noir, and we didn't get to see it.
That is a tragedy.
I lament that every day of my life.
Now, I see also that we've got some questions from our listeners.
Let's see what those are about, then. Joe Shark has some questions for us. First is, what were your expectations for the show before it came out? Were you hyped? What did you initially think about the majority of the team being animals? I went in mostly blind. I had no expectations. I just went in, I had really bad experiences with the pre-show materials for Ninjar that completely killed any enthusiasm I was capable of having for it. So I only watched like 10 episodes. So I wanted to go into this with kind of as little exposure as possible. All I really knew was that the team was going to be the team was furries, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, we've had some stuff similar to that in Gekiranger, so let's see what they can do with it.
I'm about the same place. All I knew was, all right, I love those. I love their fursuit designs, or like, what do we call those?
I don't know.
Anyway, the animal costumes, they're great. I want to see more. So that was all I had. So it's, you know, it's measuring up to about my, it's measuring up to my lack of expectation.
I'm all in now. So, I mean, I was hyped in the fact that I really wanted to start watching Sentai again because I missed it. Because I will admit that I'm more in the Sentai camp than the Rider camp. I get very, very into Sentai. And I get very, very into Rider, but sometimes Sentai just speaks to me a bit more. That's just how it is. Not that I dislike Rider, obviously.
Yeah, it's good that you put that, because, like, there would be people who would be like, how dare you? No, but, like, I like both. How dare you call Rider terrible? No, instead I just like the other one a little more. You liar.
It's like, clearly I love Rider. I started here on the Rider show.
Yep.
But I can hear people mention Bokenger miles away and, like, burst through a wall and start screaming. But, so moving on to the next question, because I don't know where I'm going with that.
That's me, yeah.
Does it bother you that Yamato is the only one who gets a unique weapon? It will if he stays the only one with a unique weapon. Then I will be annoyed.
Yeah, because otherwise they're all going to have to use those terrible sword guns.
But I think that's pretty rare.
It is.
Just one of them gets a unique weapon.
Yeah, it would be silly.
So
maybe them all earning their individual super weapons will be like one of the earlier arcs, and that'd be lovely.
Yeah. Like, as long as they all get their own unique weapons, I can deal with him, like, starting off as the only one. It's fine.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't stay that way. What do you think of the opening and ending themes? The ending dance is adorable. I love dance endings. I love them. I am weak for dance endings.
I had nothing for it. Like, I also like some dance endings. Like, the one for Ninja has been, I've been really super enthusiastic about, but this one just did nothing for me.
The only one I really don't like is Gekiranger. I'm not that into that one.
Yeah, that one's not very good.
But there are some shows where I will get really emotional every time I watch the opening. Mm-hmm. Sailor Moon Crystal is one of them. Ghost, so far.
Yeah.
Well, I've cried every episode through the opening.
Every time it gets to "We Think Therefore We Are," I'm just like, yeah, we are.
Like, and again, I went into the show knowing absolutely nothing, but I had that experience with this opening. I don't know why. So I'm hoping that is a good omen.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, I mean, my only complaint about the opening is ultimately the complaint that hits pretty much every Sentai opening that is neither Bokenger nor Gokaiger. It's not the Tokuger theme.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a problem, because, again, the Tokuger theme is the greatest thing.
My only real issue with the Gokaiger theme is that it feels like it should be, like, the Season 3 opening of Gokaiger.
I could see that.
Like, I love the song, and I love the opening. It just feels like it should be a later season.
I could see that, actually. Like, it's when it's sort of toned down, and once you know everyone, and everyone's a bit more friendly. Whereas yeah. The first one should be a little more raw, because everyone is a little more
space
raw.
Space pirates?
Yeah. Get some nice 80s synth in there.
God, yes. See,
now all I'm wanting is for the next Sentai to, you know, try and do Go Andra again, just go full, like, gritty cyberpunk, and they'd be like Neon Ranger.
Yes.
Like, mostly black with anyway, now I'm going to start designing a Sentai on air, so let's move on to the next question.
What are your thoughts on the mysterious birds human? The fact that he's constantly in the shadows and voiced by Kusaka from Fize leads me to believe that he might be... he's voiced by Kusaka from Fize. leads me to believe he might be an antagonist. What do you think? I don't think he's an antagonist. I mean, we do have Javert as Ken from Gekiranger going on over in Ghost, which is kind of the opposite scenario, where you have the least evil thing on the face of the earth now as Javert. But I don't think this bird guy is an antagonist. I think he's just kind of gonna be around.
Don't look, if they
maybe the sixth, maybe just, you know, hanging out with Makino.
If they did do a thing though, Makino, where like. They, you know, since this is an anniversary, if they did a sort of a callback to the first number six, Dragon Ranger or whatever he was called.
Dragon Ranger.
Yeah. Back in, oh my goodness.
Zoo Ranger.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, Zoo Ranger, which, right.
You know, with similar titles.
Exactly. That's why I had to check myself. Like, if they had a thing where the first while we have a number six, they're the bad guy, voiced by Kusaka, which would be kind of great. Although I imagine he'd be just happy to be like, look, can people just stop hating me every time I exist anywhere? Yeah. Whenever I walk somewhere, could he come
back as Kusaka in like a stage show recently.
Nice.
So, I don't know if he minds all that much.
Well, you know, I have to imagine, like, Kusaka is a lot like Tsukasa in Decade. It's just like, you know what? Just do it all the time. Why stop? It's too much fun. Sure, every time you go outside, a small child starts crying, but that just means you're good at your job.
Yeah.
Now, Angelmeister also had some questions for us. What do you think about Yamato's cube being stolen from the Zhuland?
Well, I mean, it had to get to Earth somehow.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a neat thing, gives a little pathos, and gives us a chance to explain more of what Zhuland is about, because we have to explain who the Eagle Guy was and what his deal was.
Yeah, and I mean, did he steal it? Did he steal it back from whoever stole it and got stuck in on Earth?
This, that, and the other thing? Was he just tired of living in squares all the time? wouldn't that be just great? It's like, you know, things here are round. You have no idea how much I want round.
just take this square and go. I never want to see another square again as long as I live.
Which actually leads into the next question. What reason could the Eagle Zhuman have had for giving the cube to Yamato? Again, just sick of cubes.
Just, no more cubes.
Just being serious, though, I imagine it's probably like, hey kid, I'm about to go have an epic fight with the mid-season boss, and I'm going to go apparently die, so here, you hold on to this small child who I have just saved from the mid-series villain, and then he fights and dies, and it's tragic and junk.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely somewhere along those lines where he's like, I sense you have, like, all this potential and, like, love animals, and I'm probably going to die in 10 minutes, so, you know, you just hold on to this.
Yep. Also probably spouting off a vague prophecy that will be very specifically carried out by the end of the series.
Something like that.
Finally, do you think we'll be returning to Zhuland when we get our 6th or by the end of the series? And we talked about that earlier, and I really hope so.
Yeah, I would really love to, like, see more come of that, where, like, they fix up the cube, and, like, a couple more humans, like, come to Earth sometimes to bring news or supplies or upgrades.
Oh, and, like, the final...
We get someone's parents showing up at some point.
The final arc is all about the evil Gamer Gators going to invade Zhuland because they can't finish off Earth, so they need to but they need to explode something. So they go to Zhuland, and, you know, then it's final defense of Planet of the Animals. I don't know. Man,
yeah,
it's a shame that, like, this isn't made in America, if only because there, somewhere in there, there's going to be a Planet of the Apes joke. There needs to be one. Like, get your filthy hands off me, you damn dirty human. Admittedly, that was the Planet of the Apes remake, but look, it was a good inversion, and I gotta give credit where it's due.
But I really do hope we get back there. It was a really... I can't imagine they would just use that, like, go through all the effort and money of making that set and then not use it again.
Yeah, it was... It was really nice. And I'm always a big sucker for the Goblin Markets, so I want to see more of it.
Yeah.
I also want to know what's up with the crocodile with the wig. I just, like... My lady friend pointed them out to me, and I'm like, I want to know what that person's about. I want to know their story. I want them to be the number 6.
I mean, we did have the crocodile phone in Abba Ranger, so that would be a great way to call back to him.
Oh.
That seems to be all we've got for the first episode of Laser Knees.
So make sure to join us next week for episode 2. Don't underestimate this planet. Alternately, don't mess with this planet.
Yeah, I think I pulled that title off of Don't Underestimate This Planet off of Wikipedia.
Well,
instead of from the end of the episode, but it translation choices.
Yeah, exactly, because those are tough, and there's always a lot of meaning. That's going to be a whole thesis for me.
I do want to give Overtime some credit for not trying to localize Zhuman.
Yeah,
and actually, letting us have that pun.
Yeah,
because I know generally Overtime prefers to localize,
which you
and
know,
I don't always
ups
agree
and
with
downs.
It.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I very frequently don't agree with it.
But you know, it's a thing. Like, I understand at least why they do it, even when I disagree.
Yeah.
Like, we for when we got the Overtime subs of O's over here. My lady friend is just like, no, this thing where he's has the pet name for Goto, Broto, I believe it was. She's just like, no, Aleph, fix that, make that fix. That we're not having that.
I mean, I'm not 100% on board with it, but I can kind of accept it in the fact that I know if Date were to call him something in English, that's what it would be.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that is who Date is, but,
yeah, we changed it to kid, or kiddo.
Ah.
Which, you know, similar, but not the same.
But I mean, I would prefer just I'm not always on board with taking out suffixes, because he was just calling him Goto-chan.
Yeah.
And I'm not always on board with that, because that's a cultural thing that doesn't translate. It very rarely translates easily.
Yeah.
And if you take that out, you often lose a lot of meaning as to the way someone is referring to someone else. Where they'll usually just drop them.
Yeah, but when it comes to, like, the Chan, there's usually a little... They do a nicknaming, and the results vary.
But, like, they'll just drop a Kun or a San. Sometimes with San, they'll put, like, Mr. or Miss. But it's... Even then, that's not always the right thing, and they'll... if a character is calling, like, a person unrelated to them, like One-chan or One-san... they'll usually just use the character's name, and I don't really agree with that, because you're losing a very important meaning of the way they're referring to this person.
Yeah, but it's on the other hand, like, I do understand why they do it, because it's...
I understand why, it's just a personal preference.
Yeah, and like, that is, we could have, sometime or other, we're gonna have to just have a whole writer jump, or
something.
Laser... I don't know what doctoring would be.
I mean, we could probably just do it on Rider Jump. Rider Jump is kind of a catch-all.
Yeah, true. But anyway.
Like, I would love to do, like, a Rider Jump kind of on that topic.
Yeah, just about, like...
It's really more of a personal choice for, like, everyone. The only time I get really annoyed is, I get really annoyed when people translate proper nouns.
I could see, yeah. No, I'm with you.
It was something that happened in Gaim, and I still do not know the Acorn Rider's actual, like, rider name because of that. Because Acer decided to localize it.
Yeah, and it was a real problem later on. Like, and I liked that, like, they did do some mea culpa near the end, where they're like, look, we didn't know that Sengoku was gonna be the dude's name. Like, we just thought, you know, the Sengoku driver is the varying driver, because it's, you know, it's warring, but it's more awesome, because we put some umlauts to kind of go with how the Sengoku was spelled. It didn't work.
Yeah, it, like, because I'm just like, if you're gonna do that, like, just start calling Kaito Shadow then.
Yeah, it's
like, honestly, that I probably would have enjoyed him more if we just were calling him Shadow.
Well, and it's definitely one of those things, like, okay, one of my favorite anime is Princess Tutu, which I don't know if you've seen.
I've been meaning to get to it for a long time.
Do. I saw it first time on fan subs, and you know, the protagonist is called Ahiru, which, you know, means duck, but, you know, that's her name. She's a little duck who turns into a girl who turns into a magical girl. It's a thing. When the official translation came out, they just changed her name to Duck. And I seriously, one time I ranted for 2 hours, like, no, that's not her name.
Why would you do that?
Every time, yeah, if you're gonna do that, every time a girl is named Sakura, you should call her Cherry Blossom. That's not a thing you do.
I mean, like, the only time that was, like, ever acceptable was when Usagi's name was translated as Bunny, because, like, that's an actual name that girls have.
Yeah, and it's a
plot. It's more of a nickname, but, and there's, like, there's puns in there, and yeah, the pun isn't lost calling her that.
Yeah. I mean, it's the thing where, like, you do lose some of it with Serena.
Yeah. And I'm still, I think that was a syllable thing.
Yeah, and it makes sense also, because, I mean, you know, Celine is the...
And, like, it is, like, that is the original Queen Serenity. Her mom does say, like, one of my names was Celine. Yeah. Like, one of the things people... So, like, I can kind of get that, but, like, the pun of her name is gone. So it's always, like, why does she have all this stuff with rabbits on it?
Yeah, and I know, like, at some point, though, the Black Moon Clan, they're like, well, now we're looking for the bunny.
I think they just, like, kept calling Chibiusa Rabbit.
Yeah, that's, you know, fine, fair enough, but... Anyway, we're getting way off topic, as is our wont. So, again, join us next week for episode 2 of Zhuozhi, don't underestimate, alternately, mess with this planet. For Laser Knees, I'm Aleph.
And I'm Sono.
And we will catch you next time.
Yep.